BBC Radio Scotland.
It's 9 o'clock. I'm Kenneth MacDonald. You're listening to Headlines. Good morning. For the next hour, I'll be joined by my guests to look through the Sunday papers, as well as back at the big stories which have been making the news in the last 7 days. Well, let's move on. Thanks indeed to Mike Small, but I want to talk now about Pakistan's Prime Minister, who has distanced himself this morning from a member of his government who offered a reward to anyone who kills the producer of an anti-Islamic video. The fallout from the film, parts of which appeared on YouTube, has continued this week, with violence spreading from the Middle East and the Arabian Peninsula to Pakistan. The country's railways minister, Ghulam Ahmad Belur, publicly announced he would pay $100,000 from his own pocket to anyone who killed the makers of the film. Where does this leave the idea of free speech? Closer to home, in Manchester, there were arrests of comments posted on social networks praising the man who shot two police officers in the city. It begs the question, do we still have the right to be offensive? Well, Brian Pellett is the online editor of Free Speech Debate, and I've still got the political commentator Jerry Hassan and Ewan McComb in the studio here. Brian, thanks for joining us. Is there actually a line between hate speech and free speech, or should all speech be free and just to hell with the consequences?
That's a great question. We're always trying to find this line. And the interesting thing is that YouTube actually has community standards that define hate speech. And they define it as speech that attacks or demeans a group based on a number of things, race, ethnic origin, religion. But then what was used recently in the past few weeks, they didn't revert to this definition of hate speech. They actually said it was something that incited violence. And this is not what they've said in the past. So it's been interesting that they've changed their tune on this and gone against these standards. When safety and the risk of lives are clearly at stake.
Well, here's the problem, isn't it? On the internet, there are no community standards because your community is the world, which is, and every nation has slightly different standards, indeed greatly differing standards in some cases. So what might seem to be satirical in, say, France with Charlie Hebdo and publishing these cartoons is going to be massively offensive to some people in Indonesia, for example.
Well, absolutely. But then what we're seeing and what we've seen in the past with Twitter, you mentioned cases in Twitter, is these companies actually starting to censor videos, censor tweets on a country-by-country basis, claiming that doing so is at least preventing worldwide censorship. We're a research project, freespeechdebate.com. We're not necessarily an advocacy platform, but we do find it troubling when they decide to give in to violent intimidation, as happened in Egypt, in Libya, when YouTube willingly took the videos down for these security risks, for these safety concerns. And having that ad hoc heckler's veto approach, we don't really think it works.
Jerry, what do we do here? We've got a whole slew of things which might be regarded either as free speech or artistic freedom or bad art. I mean, the Tom Daley tweets in which the police are taking no further action. Somebody put up a Facebook page praising Dale Cregan, who's now accused of murdering four people. Yeah. We had the Salman Rushdie autobiography out this week, detailing about how he had to become Joseph Anton because of the stushy over the Satanic Verses. I mean, what's the difference between the Satanic Verses and this apparently dreadful anti-Muslim film, other than that one is not a bad piece of artwork and the film's awful?
Yeah, one's a piece of artistic imagination and trying to be provocative in a helpful sense. And clearly this film is apparently, I mean, I haven't looked at it, meant to be an awful piece of...
About five people have.
Yeah, well, it was five people last Monday, wasn't it? And it was 30 million at the end of the week. So that's a good viral campaign. But I think the thing it touches on, these sort of issues, there's so much it touches on issues of free speech, about interfaith, lack of communication and empathy, and then the sheer connectivity of the planet through social media and viral campaigns that can basically get people connected that have no understanding of the cultures they're connecting with. So you have this film run by what look like right-wing American fundamentalists then being connected to a certain part of Islam that goes ballistic about any affront to its religion. And you've got that combined with unstable politics in the Middle East. It's not a helpful brew, basically.
Brian, you've seen this film. Should it be protected?
Oh, I've seen it. It's a terrible film. I mean, it's clearly that it's designed to ridicule and mock a religion, and it's frankly poorly produced. But yes, we think it should be protected. Interestingly, the White House came out with a different line after the ambassador in Libya was killed, saying they wanted it to be taken down around the world. But if you look at YouTube, and if we look at past examples, there's videos on YouTube of like a character of Jesus being hit by a truck. There are Holocaust denial videos on YouTube. And what they've done in this is that they've put a marker before the video plays saying, this video might be offensive to some viewers. To do that for this video, which they haven't done, would probably be a good step, but we don't think that the video should be taken down on the basis of this violent intimidation.
But Yoon, do you think that as well? I noticed on the satirical website The Onion had a cartoon this week of Jesus, Krishna, Ganesh and Buddha in a fairly compromising sexual positions, and it said absolutely nobody hurt as a result of this cartoon, which is true. There are people out there looking to be offended by something, violently offended, and frankly, if I was a Muslim in some of these Islamic countries and wanted to be upset about America, I could find things like, I don't know, their foreign policy and Israel and things like that to be really worked up about.
Don't you think that's really what people are worked up about? Don't you think these videos are these kind of rows which seem to grow and grow? Do we really think that all these people genuinely, it's just a video that's done it? Do we really think that about these huge groups of people? Or are there deeper problems and deeper angers that things like the outrage over the video, you know, expose?
Yes,
so an entire generation. I think it's wrong to think that this has all happened because of some tawdry video on YouTube. That's been a focus, but for a deeper problem.
Certainly across the Arab world, I mean, there is a huge younger generation, most of which is now very well educated, but actually still looking for work. And they see what's happening in Israel, they see what happened with the Iraq war, and they just need something like this to. It's like when people are making sugar and you boil up the sugar and you drop in a single crystal and the whole thing crystallizes. And that seems to be what's happened here, that it just took something to spark it. And there'll be another thing next week, probably.
Yeah. And somebody last week in one of the papers made a very, I think, salient point that what offends Muslim opinion is very interesting. It's often the symbolic rather than the fact of the killing of bin Laden didn't spark riots or protests all across the Arab world. So it's interesting what does offend people.
Brian Pellett, thanks very much.